Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Good morning. It's good to see you this morning. If you're a visitor for the first time, welcome. It's great to see you. My name's Keith. I serve here at the church. And so it's really, really good to be here. We're going through a book in the Old Testament called the Exodus. It's the second book in your Bible. And so it's really good. The title is Becoming Who We Are. And so it's about God's people stepping into everything that God has for them. But you know, relationships are great apart from the people, aren't they? You know, I remember I was in industry for many years and it would say like, something like, I love my job, it's the work I can't stand or something like that. But it's the same with people, isn't it? So often we're in relationships and relationships have to be worked on all the time. There are people here probably been married many, 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 many years. Always working on relationship. It's the same in church as well. And I think one of the problems we have with all of the brochures and with now social media and everything else is it airbrushes everything. By that, what I mean is it makes it all glamorous. It all looks great. Come to our church, it's going to be amazing. And we get there and it's good, and then our unfinished side meets someone else's unfinished side, and we then move and hope that the next airbrush church's website might live up to what they say. But you see, it's like that. Relationships are hard in marriage, it's hard in church, and it's hard, let's face it, in walking with Jesus. Actually owning the badge is a call. And so I just want to pray today as we step through this, as we go through chapters 6 together, that we're encouraged that it's okay to be broken and it's okay to be weak and suffer from anxiety and all of those things, because it's exactly the sort of people God uses. And I hope that encourages you today. So I'm going to pray. It's brilliant to see Margaret Smith. Hello. So lovely to see you. And really, really great. I saw Lindsay Friday praying that Lindsay... We just want Lindsay to be home. She wants to be home. She's so frustrated there in the hospital. We don't say anything else, dare we? But maybe this week, we hope, we pray. Could be. We'll see how the meeting on Friday went with all of the grown-ups and the consultants there. And they were going to make a decision about how they can best feed Lindsay and things like this. She's in great spirits. There's no keeping a good one down, that's for sure. We had a great time together. And so shall we pray and ask the Lord to speak to us through his word, the Bible. That's how he does it as well, as well as one another. So Lord, come, would you? We want to be like the one leper out of 10 that came back to say, thank you. We praise you for Margaret being here, Lord, today. We've been praying and praying. Lord, we long for Lindsay to be here too. So we want to thank you for what you have done. So easy for me, Lord, and maybe many of us to focus on the things that are not quite right. Lord, 10,000 reasons we often sing, and forevermore. So many reasons, Lord, to bless and praise you, to worship you, Lord. If we never had one more measured blessing in our eyes, Lord, we have Jesus. We have forgiveness. We have the cross. Lord, we have an eternity with you. We can live that life now by the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, might you just refresh our vision, Holy Spirit, to see what you see. That those who are for us are greater than those who are against. We pray for any broken spirits today, discouraged spirits, Lord. Might I not be the cause of that. Might we encourage one another. Might your word come and lift us. Might we see something afresh of your beautiful character, your holiness, your set asideness, yet your great love toward us. Oh Lord, speak to us, we pray. Have your way. We open our hearts, our minds, every recess of our lives. Right now. Lord, come in. Come, Holy Spirit. As you came in that first Advent, as we celebrate this month, come now. Incarnate, live in, dwell in, come in afresh. It's my heart and mind. Lord, speak to me, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The reason this whole series is called Becoming Who We Are, I always pray that if you're not yet a believer, you'll be encouraged. But you see, this is really for God's people. A lot of the Bible is written for God's people. And we can read texts in the Bible and think, well, oh, that's for my friend at work who doesn't know Jesus yet. But it's often the letters are written to the churches in the New Testament, and the Bible's about God's people struggling. And it's about becoming who we are. Because when I see who I am in the mirror, I don't like it very much. And some of you might not like that very much. I don't mean looking at me or anything, but I don't know. Let's not go there. But when I look in the mirror, I was talking to someone this morning in the car, when I look in the mirror of God's word and I see myself and how God sees me, so much that he sent his only son, so much that in spite of my failings, he loves me. I can become who I already am. I am a child of God. I am a child of the King of Kings. My feet couldn't be any higher than they are today. I'm not striving to be amazing or to please him in that sense for my own ticket to heaven. We're called to come to him. And then that is the start through the cross that we can live this glorious life. And in the Exodus narrative, we see just how God works all the way through history. How he brings a people together, how he draws them, saves them from something, but also saves them to something, to his purposes, to his complete fulfillment. You might call that kingdom living, but you can't have from without the to. We like the from because I'm going to heaven. I saw a documentary on TV the other week, and there was an evangelist. He had a good heart, but the message was simply this: I'm going to heaven. Do you want to come? On his car sticker. I've got to say, that's nice. You know, he's got a sticker on his car. He's a brother. But I'm living for more than heaven now. Heaven's not going to, the promise of heaven right now and today, which is true for you if you've trusted Jesus, is not a motivation for you to be anywhere near like Jesus in your life. I'm already in heaven. Why should I strive to be like Jesus in my life if I'm just already there? You see, what I'm saying is, this salvation without a following, without a discipleship, is disconnected. I can live as I please. And Paul says, no, that's not what grace is about. That's cheap grace, says Paul. And so we have been looking at this series in Exodus, and there comes a time when we like sometimes to treat church as a teaching place. And there are some large preaching centers in the world. In America recently, I was there and talking to pastors, one who had a multi-campus of 30,000 people. Can you imagine that? I would keel over. And sometimes we can create preaching centers because we come and we want to listen. But there does come a time for all of us, for me, for you, everyone who would profess to own the name of Jesus, that we have to get out of school. It has to become an applied theology that changes my everyday. And now Moses, he's had the great word from God. He's been to Pharaoh and it's not gone very well in chapter 5. And so if they didn't before, at the beginning of chapter 6, Moses and Aaron and God's people are out of school. They really know what it's like in the world. They're really there. This is putting feet on it. No longer in the great gathering. They're there. And I've entitled today, Fears, Failings, and Promises. Because probably, I think fears, failings, and promises defines my daily walk with Jesus. I don't know about you. Unless yours is just promises and victory, and promises and victory, and promises and victory. Every day. My walk is defined by fears and failings, promises. And that's a wonderful thing. As he leads us, we Tentatively follow. Does anyone here tentatively follow and stumble and fall? Is it just me? Wow. Oh, thank you so much, Anya. Yeah. There's two of us. We should have a chat after the service. But I'm amazed. You know, at the end of chapter 5, I don't know if you read it, but the end of chapter 5, it ends with an accusation. I don't know if you've ever accused God of anything. Listen to this. How's this? Imagine, like, holy God. And say, Moses returned to the Lord and said, "Why, Lord, have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all." Nice. Good if you can do that, Moses. You know, it's a bit dangerous hobby, that one. Isn't it? Lord, I did everything you told me to do. I got your calling. I went and did it, and you didn't show up. Anybody said that before? I thought it was going to be a bit easier than this, if I'm quite honest, Lord. You have let me down. I did what you said, and it hasn't worked. I tried it. You know, I was thinking of the mottos. We've got to talk as a team about the motto for 2019. We have these fridge magnets. They're a bit tacky, but they're great. I like them. I've got a big row in my fridge. It's really crazy. And I was thinking of a more negative one. Right, because I'm trying to have positive ones for the year. Really good. I was thinking of one like, tried it, but it didn't work. Because that might sort of reflect, you know what I mean, Tanya? It might reflect the way actually, when we forget all the nice mottos and fridge magnets, how we actually go about the day. But I'll turn it round, don't worry, we'll turn it round with, I'm not going to do that, by the way. I can see all the elders looking at me like, no, I'm not going to do that one. One way to get one rejected quick. It's good, I like that, so it's... But Moses, you know, I look at other people that you might see in the pastor's desk today. Do you ever meet someone who's so rude, who's so arrogant, you know, Lord forbid, even in church, maybe, and you think, Lord, zap them? Anybody? Is that just me? Lord, zap them. I'm so fed up. Anybody? You're so holy. It's incredible. Never. No way, Bob. I would not have had you down for that. The good news is you're not on your own. Elijah, absolutely. That's a great one. Thank you. I'll expect that from you. Do you ever wonder, thinking of Moses, thinking of my tantrums, my timing. Lord, where are you? Come on. Have you ever wondered, in between our accusation of other people's failings, why God hasn't consumed you? Have you? Have you ever asked the question, why on earth, when I just reflect back just in the moment outside of my anger, when it's all kind of died down, Lord, how come you didn't consume me then? How come you didn't eliminate me then? Because I was ugly then. I didn't honor you then in that conversation. I was really not doing that out of your heart then. And no matter how loud we scream to Moses, because the trouble is with our reading now, is you see, because we see the end, and so we can think, well, it's good, Moses, don't we just keep going back? The last place Moses wanted to go is Egypt. He's a failure, and he's just failed again. Even though God said, I'm going to send Aaron with you, and it's going to be, you know, in the end, he's failed. And the people, his own people, start to dislike what he's doing. Hang on in there, Moses. But Moses has to live out this fear and failing. We have to live it out. Paul says, and this is the thing I'm talking about outside of the ticket to heaven, the hard graft of following Jesus is, Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a working out. I don't get this, Lord, right away. And that's great. Frustrating. See, following God's purposes, Moses can tell you at the end of 5, just listen to the frustration. Following God's purposes doesn't always mean that things and our lives are going to get better, because that was never the deal. That's so often the opposite Jesus promised. So as I look at what's not right in my life, I was chatting to Tom this morning about that. Often we were talking about how we can look at the things that are not working, yet there's so much to thank God for. And if I seek his kingdom first, Jesus told me the clue. then my vision of the now might be different. But we serve an amazing God. Don't you think we serve an amazing God who in the end of chapter 5 allows us to question and have a hissy fit and have a tantrum and then accuse him? I'll ask again. Have you ever wondered why he doesn't just zap me, consume me? Well, can I just say the scriptures tell us really clearly, and it will be up there. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Why doesn't he just say, Keith, I've had enough of you now? That's 40 times you've done that. You repented of that one last month. Because of his great love, we are not consumed. And I love that. And in the middle of our complaint, my complaint, it might be worth pondering how he doesn't consume me because of his great love. And having that right view of ourselves, what we've done up to now in the first 5 chapters, is we've needed a right view of ourselves. And that often comes from having a right view of God. His love and his compassion and his holiness and his awesomeness and his omniscience and his great power, his great knowledge. And so in spite of Moses, of his anxieties and his low self-esteem, his lack of natural ability, and God says, I want you to look to me. And so often when we see the power of God, which might even challenge us as his people, we've seen that God has told Moses to exercise miracles in front of his own people, remember, but also in front of Pharaoh. There were different ones. And often the Lord displays his power in our lives as a means of comfort, to show he hasn't forgotten. And he demonstrates his power to the watching world, to the pharaohs of this world, as a means of warning. So often, this world is such a mess. Thank you so much for praying, Todd, this morning. What a mess our city's in. What a mess. We need to pray like Daniel. And so in the light of the chapter 5 early setback, Moses went to Pharaoh, and what did Pharaoh do? He made the work harder, and his own people just complained. I just want to go through, because I believe we can go on in that, knowing that the Lord, if God is for us, who can be against us? And what we see in this beautiful chapter is we see God's patience and promises in verses 1 to 8. I'm not going to do every verse today. You'll know that because there's a list of names, but I will talk about them. God's patience and promises goes ahead. Moses has just accused God. And what does the Lord do? Does he judge Moses? Does he consume him? Now the Lord, verse 1, now the Lord said, after the accusation. God doesn't consume Moses, he speaks to him. Isn't that wonderful? When he doesn't consume us, he's not neuter, he speaks to us. I will do, it's not about you, Moses. Moses, I know your default is to always think about you. We heard last week from Josh. It is really about me and how my power is going to be used through you. We see that in one there. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh because of my mighty hand. He will let them go because of my mighty hand. I'll repeat it. Patience of God in dealing with Moses. But he wants to still remind Moses of who he is. God said to Moses, also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared in 3. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the great I am, the Lord, that's who you're dealing with. You need to think differently about my CV. You need to reread my CV, Moses. I heard your complaint. I didn't consume you. That's fine. I'm still speaking to you, by the way. That's good. But here's my CV. Do you want to read it again? It's me. This is the God who you're dealing with and who's going to go before you in that awful workplace, in that awful situation. Just reread the CV of the character and beauty of God and the power of God. I need to reread that because sometimes I accuse him of not showing up. Often. And so graciously he goes, this is the I am, up close and personal. And in verse 4 he says, I'm a promise-keeping, covenant-keeping God. I also established my covenant with them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them the land of Canaan. And I've heard the groaning in 5 of the Israelites. I've heard them, and I've remembered my covenant. And so you see that in 5, I'm a compassionate God as well. That grumbling people, despite your accusation and all that, and the people grumbling, Moses, I've heard, I'm compassionate, I'm a covenant-keeping God, I am who I am. That's who you're dealing with here. And all of a sudden, I feel so much stronger and underpinned with the God who is able. The I am who keeps his promises, who is compassionate, who is all-powerful, his mighty hand. Therefore, I want you to go to this people again and declare me as redeemer and judge. What does he say in 6? Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves, because I'm a redeemer. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. There is a redeemer. Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah. But his Holy One. Don't forget that. His Holy One. And in 7 and 8, the Lord says, I'm not just going to save you, redeem you. And I'm not just going to judge those who've made it hard. I'm going to make you into my people and I'm going to bring you to a place. We see that in verse 7 and 8. God loves people and place. Did you know that? I will take you as my own people and I will be your God. This is intimate. Then you will know I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land. Someone said God is infatuated with place. That's why he incarnates. We celebrate Christmas, the God who came and stood amongst us. The God who is still bringing a people today through the cross to himself and says, I go and prepare a place for you. So God's answer to the accusations of Moses is more promises, more comfort, more patience. It's beautiful. Why doesn't he consume me? Because of his great love. His compassions fail not. It's wonderful, isn't it? What a great God we have. And as God's people today, in spite of our setbacks, even accusations, we serve an awesome God. We'll sing that soon. Who does not consume us, but has come up close and personal. We celebrate a Christmas. Jesus, who could say, before Abraham was, I am. No difference. An awesome God, who when we feel down, feel rejected, calls us to go again to serve him in partnership. Maybe you feel like giving up, you've accused God and that was it, I tried it once. Maybe you're in a place of just, Lord. And he says, come on. Because whilst we've seen God's wonderful patience and promise, we see Moses' fear and failings. It's a great contrast. The fears and failings of Moses. So great, I would think Moses was feeling a little bit buoyed up. We can leave Sunday feeling right, yep. And verse 9, Moses tells the people, and they just remind him of his inabilities. People are good at that. We're so good at picking out, Jesus said anyway, the speck thing. Hey, the thing is when we do that, we've got to be very good. You see? Because there's so much in our life. My life is so a mess. But Moses tells the people, they just remind him of his inabilities, refusing to listen. And why is that? What place are the people in? It tells us, doesn't it? Moses reported this to the Israelites, but they did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. You see, sometimes, can I say, and maybe this is you today, this is really important. We can be so busy fighting our own inner battles of discouragement and exhaustion that we can't hear God's voice anymore. It can be all it takes to get up and keep going and come here and hope one day it might click. One day it might, Lord, I do this and I love the people and I'm loyal to what goes on. But there's a joint enemy of God's voice. It's discouragement and exhaustion. They come as a pair often. I don't know which way around. Maybe you get exhausted when you're discouraged. It's so easy. You could almost blow on someone. When they're in that position, they'll fall over. And they didn't listen to Moses because they were already discouraged and exhausted. So this beautiful word comes from God with all the intention. Moses maybe rebuoyed it. Oh, great, thank you, Lord, okay. Although I doubt that with his anxiety, but still. And the people were so discouraged they didn't listen. They refused to listen to him. He reported this to the Israelites. They did not listen to him because of their discouragement and harsh labor. They work in tandem. Can be real barriers to hearing, discouragement and tiredness, exhaustion. And so what does the Lord do? Okay, Moses, it is hard. I'll send someone else like you originally said. You know, that'll be... No, he says, no, this is good, Moses. Now go and tell Pharaoh as well. Isn't this cruel? This is a bit cruel. Someone who has that personality type, who's anxious, low self-esteem, he already needed buoying up a second time by God himself, read his CV, said, great, I'm going out. The people were discouraged and says, we're not going to listen to you. You're that weirdo who keeps coming back and telling us, and you know, look at the state of you. And God says, okay. Then the Lord said to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, just in case you forgot his title. Oh, to let the Israelites go out of his country. Go and tell him. You see, this is cruel on paper. I think Hollywood thought it was cruel as well. I don't know if you've seen The Prince of Egypt. The films around Moses and the Ten Commandments. I think they're reasonable. Good. But you see, this filming someone who's got anxiety, who constantly fails, who keeps going back and revealing the true character of God, because that's what it does. Wonderful, compassionate, slow to anger, loves us. Is not good for selling movies. So Hollywood took this and they glammed it up. They airbrushed Moses. They sort of made him a cross between Thor and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Someone who's really strong and really wise. No, he isn't. He isn't. Because we know the text. He does okay. Gosh, that was hard. And what I love about the Bible, read the Bible a lot. What I love about the Bible is it doesn't airbrush. I don't mean hairbrush because I couldn't do one. It doesn't airbrush big up God's people. Paul says the Lord uses the weak things of this world. And probably one of the hardest lessons for Moses and the people of God then and now is when Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. And if I'm going to throw myself onto the mercy and care of God, I'm going to need to see myself for who I really am, that I can't do this. You know, people love to do selfies. Apparently, I've never done this, because I was not on the filters to do it. You can filter your picture on to make you look younger and have whiter teeth before it goes on social media. Has anyone done that? Don't admit it now, it's not right, it's not good. There's not enough filters on the program for me. But you see, what I don't want to filter it through and airbrush myself and put it on social media. Look at me and in Benidorm. Sorry if you've been there, I don't know, but I'm saying. The best selfie I can take is through the mirror of the scriptures. Take a selfie with the Bible, because this becomes a mirror. And I see who I really am in scripture. And I go, Lord, but then I see who you really are. And I worship you. I worship you. Because when I'm that ugly spiritually in whatever way, it's wonderful because of his unfailing love. He doesn't consume me. He loves me so much. He sent his son. I see the God who loves me and says, that's my boy. I don't have to pretend and take a selfie and airbrush and put it in the brochure. Change my photo on the website. I look weird. It's normal. Moses is coming to the point where he's simply telling God, I love this, he's simply telling God what God has known all along. They're not listening. Sometimes people in the world get there quicker than believers. Pharaoh did it in chapter 5, he beat Moses. He goes to him in chapter 5 and says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, who's the Lord? I don't know the Lord. Spot on. Good assessment, Pharaoh. At least he's honest. I love honest people. That's Jesus. All right, for you, you need a crutch. Good. What a great starting point. Let's not. People who pretend to be religious are a nightmare to talk to. Really? Let's have a good, honest evaluation. You don't know the Lord, Pharaoh, but you will. Honestly, it's awful, but we know the story. Walking with Christ, walking with a God who first loved us, with an is that honest self-assessment that says, Lord, I can't do this. But as we read on, and I'm going to bring this down with the last point, we can be so encouraged, people of God. Because in spite of further protests in verse 12, no one's going to listen to me, verse 12, we see God simply uses real people like you and I in real partnership. See, in verse 13, see, Moses has said, but Moses said to the Lord in 12, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me? It's decent. I mean, it's good. I speak with faltering lips, no natural ability. And so the Lord ignores that. Sort of, but takes it into account. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. I wonder what he said in this part. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Imagine that. The Bible's silent. I wonder what God said to Moses. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in his fears and anxieties about the Israelites and Pharaoh. I wonder if he said, I know, they get on my nerves as well, Moses. I'm not saying he did, because his love is all-consuming. He might have just said, I know it's hard. I know their hearts. People are like that, Moses. Look in the mirror. That's what you're like. They're just like you. Pharaoh has anxieties too, which he has a few thousand million frogs running around. He'll get anxious. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he commanded them then, oops, I said it before. Whenever we read a command in the Bible, it's because we do not naturally do it. If ever you're not sure, if Jesus commands us, it's because we're not naturally doing it. Jesus commanded to go and make disciples. We don't naturally do it. Honestly, we don't. When we have to be commanded in Scripture, whether it's Moses or us, whatever, it's because it's not a natural thing to do. When it's natural, you don't say to a dog, you need to bark today. You see, when it's natural, God doesn't have to command us because we naturally do it. It's just a good clue of reading the Bible. And whenever you see a command, it's, oh, it might be because we don't want to do that usually. And so we see real people in real partnership. And in case you see, because what often happens is, and I understand this, it wouldn't be the best junior church or Sunday school class to just go through the names of 14 to 25 of all the clans of Israel. The kids might kind of, the children might. And sometimes we can read a list of names in the Bible and think, that's ruined a good story. Anyone read that? In fact, I'm going to go from verse. In fact, I even stopped the reading at 13 today. I just felt sorry for you. And Melanie, who was going to read it. But I love the list of names in the Bible because the Lord says this isn't Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tales. This is real people in real history serving a real God who does real, amazing, redeeming and judging work. And he's a wonderful God. This is real people. So verse 13, before the list of names, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron about the Israelites and commanded them to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. You know, I love this. All of the accusations, all of the anxieties, Moses has gone back, the people have rejected him because they're discouraged and exhausted. God always has the last word. And he will. You might think you do, but you don't. I don't. He does. He said all that and says, yeah, yeah, go. I love the way the Bible disguises these chats. And so the Lord had a chat with Moses and Aaron about her and Israel. I'm sure it was really nice. Have you ever felt, oh, gosh, Lord. Maybe in a song, our worship teams beautifully lead us in. You feel, Lord, the Spirit of God. But in case we're tempted to leave this as some Sunday school narrative, Moses, Prince of Egypt, it's great. We see lists of names, families, where we can see. And we look at this list of names and we stop and we think, wow, the people that went to Moses that were discouraged and exhausted were real people like you and me. But who God loves so much. That's why he didn't consume them. So as we close this off, in 26 and 27, in spite of all of the self-doubts and anxieties and accusations, I'm so encouraged, aren't you, that God still uses you and I. I found this, I actually laughed out loud when I first read this part. Sorry, it's just, I get other amusement as well, by the way. I'm just saying. Thank you. So I read all the names, and 26 and 27, the writer is obviously worried a little bit about, in case we think the Lord's got someone else, we would have hired someone else easily by now, way before chapter 6. 26, it was this Aaron and Moses to whom the Lord said, bring the Israelites out of Egypt by the divisions. They were the ones who spoke to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to bring in the Israelites out of Egypt. This same Moses and Aaron, yeah, I can't believe it either. This same Moses and Aaron, the guy who's accused God at the end of fire, the guy who said he's not very good, he's got anxiety, he's got self-doubt. It was this same one that God used. Oh, gosh. Isn't that great? He really wants to believe it. You see, there's a video there, and they can't underline and bold when the original text and things like that. So it's like, yeah, this same one. Yeah, I know. This same Aaron and Moses, these people used by God. And I think, wow. And what's happened in a chapter? God has turned accusation into obedience. By revealing something more of his character, by his great love and patience and promises, by just being God. That's the God I serve and love, who allows me to keep turning up every week, who allows me to get up on a Monday morning, who allows me to share Jesus when I failed him time and time and time again. Isn't he amazing? Isn't God wonderful? Don't you want to worship him now? We're going to. So in 28 to 30, just in case that was the last of the debate, by the way, the conversation rumbles on. It's going to be a little while. God saying, Moses questioning, just there, just right at the end. Lord spoke to Moses. He said, I am the Lord, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, everything I tell you. And we'll finish this week with a bit of tension. We'll deal with it next week. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? Well, it'll be sorted next week. Don't. Because you see, this tension, this stumbling, the questions, fears, failings, and promises is how my life with Jesus works. It might be yours as well. Don't be discouraged. It might be that you're so discouraged and exhausted that you're struggling to hear God, just like the people then. But I pray something of the Spirit of God that will just come and arrest your soul. That he's so beautiful and patient, and he doesn't consume you or I because he loves you. and wants to call the ordinary men and women and young people, children, into partnership with him to achieve his amazing kingdom purposes. Yes, Lord, please, hold me in that. Just embrace me as I go forward, because I'm frail and it's really not easy. So we're called into partnership, made possible at the cross. If you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know the Father, it's because he's made it possible at the cross for you to come. Aren't you glad as we celebrate in a few moments that Jesus didn't quit when it was hard? Aren't you glad that the Lord, when he collapsed in the Garden of Gethsemane, said, "Yeah, not my will, but yours, Lord." Might I say the same in the difficulty and discouragements and exhaustion, "Lord, yet not my will, but yours." And see him at work. We're going to watch a quick video. It's called Confidence. It's not about self-confidence. We're not going to airbrush. It's about just, "Lord, I can't do this, but you can." And then we're going to sing a song, I think. Is it the video first, Gareth? And then, awesome, going to sing. And we're going to declare, as Joe and the team leaders, our God is an awesome God, as we lead into our time of celebrating communion. But let me pray as they prepare it. And just let me pray. And we'll, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, would you come now? Would you just remind me of how amazing you are? May I look in the mirror of your word and see a child of the King, not airbrushed or bigged up, but because you love me so much, you sent your only son. That I might believe on that, not just believe on it, but show my total and complete allegiance in you and follow you as my new King, my new master. Oh Lord, and in my fumblings, I pray my very stumbles will give glory to you. And that, Lord, it will be because of your mighty hand and not mine at all. That kingdoms of the world are broken, and that your kingdom comes, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That one day the kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Messiah. And we'll be with you, which is far better. Come, Lord Jesus, till then, strengthen our arms, our feeble legs. Might we see you for who you really are and go forward in our weakness, giving you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.